Welcome to the Floor Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Friday, the 16th of October, recording at 8:02 p.m. and it's still British summertime. Now, first, a quick look at the highlights of the week, as this is the big picture long-term outlook. And stock markets, very firm, with a little bit of profit-taking occurring in here today. Now, in terms of long-dated government bonds, they've been soft. They've given up some gains this week, but they're slightly firmer. Well, the U.S. Treasuries are a little bit firmer in here today. In terms of currencies, we have seen continued weakness of the U.S. dollar, but it's just getting a tiny bit of short covering here today. Sterling, which had been quite weak along with the US dollar, sterling and the dollar have been the two favored carry trade currencies. And sterling lost downside momentum last week, and in the last 2 days this week, it has seen upward dynamics, checking its slide. So more on that relationship in a moment. Precious metals, we've seen a pause, a wee bit of a reaction in here this week, particularly for silver, although they're firming up a little bit in here today. And probably the biggest story of the week, well, I think undoubtedly the biggest story of the week, is that crude oil has seen an important breakout. And took off 7 days ago from the midpoint of its trading range, and it's just shot right up through the upper side on NYMEX crude and is up at $78.50 as I speak. Okay, so what's going on here overall? Well, I have been saying in these audios that activity has increased. Markets have become more volatile. Now, we do need to watch that. I've said that one needs to keep a close eye on markets because things are changing very, very rapidly. And usually when you get a speed up of activity like this in so many markets, it represents a degree of acceleration in terms of overall activity. And it does burn out fairly quickly and spill over into reactions. Now, in terms of stock markets, we saw, as you will recall, that terrific upward dynamic marked by daily and then weekly keys in mid-July, marking the end of that correction that we'd seen during late May, June, and the first half of July. That's the only real correction we've seen since the March reaction lows for stock markets this year. Subsequently, stock markets have been on a bender, and we've seen, in other words, very strong gains, often led by Fuller Money themes. I think the one exception among Fuller Money themes has been China, which has been atypical and had seen its mean reversion reaction commence really with those downside key day downside key day reversal in August. So it's out of sync with the others, and that's interesting. China may be a template for what happens fairly shortly to more of these stock markets. And that is that we see medium-term corrections towards mean reversions. Now, Ellen and I have been talking about this for a while, as you know, but we haven't seen the evidence yet that those mean reversion, additional mean reversion corrections were occurring. We certainly saw the China one, that you couldn't miss it with that huge downside key day reversal. Well, expect something like that, possibly a little less dramatic, but affecting more markets to occur within the next few weeks, I would suspect. And the thing about a medium-term correction occurring in a bull market phase. And I'm going to repeat that I've emphasized over and over again that everything we've seen has reinforced the evidence that this is a bull market. And remember all those people who were saying, no, it's just a bear market rally and so on, going to go down and take out the March lows. Well, they become very, very quiet, needless to say, because the view has had no technical credibility for a long time. Now, it's almost impossible to predict the precise, or to predict in advance, when that medium-term correction is going to occur, although we are starting to get some lead evidence. Some markets are accelerating. Brazil, for instance. I reviewed it in my copy here today, and Brazil, which has had a spectacular move, it's not all that far away from its top formation that it had seen last year. It is a very important market as the leading resources supplier. And the uptrend, so powerful, since its big upside weekly key in mid-July, its uptrend's now accelerating. So that forewarns that we're going to see a spillover, say, relatively soon, and I would again repeat myself by saying in the next few weeks. And what we want to watch for is that we'll see downward dynamics. These will probably include a number of key day reversals. Now, today we had a tiny key day reversal in the UK FTSE 100. I don't think that's enough. That's not the crucial signal. What happens on Wall Street is almost certainly more important, but we're getting it may be an indication that we're getting closer to that pause. Now, so what? Some of you may say. And is this an all bailout signal? No. I am very likely to ignore the signal in terms of my own very long-term positions. If I had trading positions, leveraged trading positions in some of these stock markets which have been powering way ahead, I don't. My equity positions that I'm holding right now are all in long-term pensions and ISA funds, and those are unleveraged. If I had leveraged positions, I'd be running very tight stops in something like Brazil, and knowing that I wanted to step aside and be on the sidelines when, or even short, when a 10 to 15, maybe 20% correction occurred. So all I'm looking for, all we are looking for, is a mean reversion towards the rising 200-day moving average. And for some markets, for some stock markets, that'll look like more of a long trading range consolidation. For some, it'll be a downward spike and then a ranging phase. Some will look a bit like China's, which had the spike upwards and then back down, and then consolidation near the lower side of the range. So I think that we're probably going to see the onset of such an event before year end. Now, that's a little bit of a surprise to me, and I'm taking a bit of a risk in saying before year end, because November and December are seasonally quite strong markets. But then we've seen real strength through August, September, and October to date. So really, we've seen so much good news. We've seen so much discounting by these stock market momentum moves that I think seasonal factors are unlikely to offset this possibility of sort of a medium term. By that I would mean multi-week, perhaps a few months reaction and consolidation. That reaction, when it occurs, those reactions, when they occur, will be buying opportunities, as we've said about China in recent weeks. So we do want to keep a close eye on these markets. And as we say at the chart seminar, it'll be an OMG moment. Suddenly we'll see, oh, look at all these downward dynamics and key day reversals that are occurring across a range of stock markets. Now, if I'm wrong on this, if I'm too cautious, and I'll be among the first to say that as bullish as we've been, and I think you know, and the archives will confirm, and that we've been talking about stock markets bottoming out and base building since those October-November lows, with the fuller money themes leading on the upside, and have been early advocates of the bull market recovery. But despite that, we've also been surprised by the speed and extent of the move, and that's what happens in bull markets. We usually are surprised by the extent of the upward moves, just as we're surprised by the speed and extent of downward moves in bear markets. Another way of putting that is, as I've said on a number of occasions, in bull markets, most of the surprises are to the upside, and we've seen plenty. So get ready for a bit of a surprise that shouldn't really be a surprise on the downside. Maybe that occurs when the last worrier on CNBC and Bloomberg TV stops talking about a reaction and a correction, and then we see the move. Well, again, we think that we are within a few weeks of getting such an event. But again, if I'm wrong, then what we'll see is small little ranging reactions individually for markets, where maybe they just go into a trading range that lasts for a few weeks individually. It's not impossible, but I think the greater probability is we do see the medium-term correction towards the rising MAs. Okay, what else in here? The long-dated government bonds. It'll be interesting to see if bond prices firm a little bit as and when we do get evidence of corrections in stock markets. I don't have a lot to say about long-dated government bonds. I don't buy the big deflation story in terms of that being attractive enough to justify investing in long-dated government bonds. I maintain that the yields are derisory, and you really do have to feel that we're going to see a Japanese-style deflationary trap to justify buying long-dated government bonds. If we were to experience Japan's lost deflationary decade and more, then we would definitely see long-dated government bond yields come down in the US, UK, and Euroland. But I maintain that we're not going to see that, not least because monetary authorities are well aware of what happened in Japan, and they have been doing absolutely everything in their considerable and even unlimited power in terms of quantitative easing to make sure that it didn't happen here. And I think they have succeeded. That doesn't mean we won't get pockets of deflation. Of course we will. We got them in wages. We have seen some deflation in house prices, largely because there's too much supply, and they were overextended on the upside. But all of this is we've seen some deflation in a lot of manufactured goods. That's not a new story. That's an old story. That's a byproduct of globalization, as well as the recessions that we've seen, where we've seen recessions. So we will see those deflationary pockets, but we also have inflationary pockets, and those are occurring in commodities and also in stock markets. So when I say I don't have a lot to say about the long-dated government bonds, I don't think that the yields are attractive enough under the circumstances. And I've just outlined the case, so we would have to see as bad a situation develop as occurred in Japan to justify buying the long-dated government bonds. I'm more concerned about long-dated government bonds in terms of their role as the canary in the coal mine. At some point, I feel the yields will burst upwards and shock everybody, and that will be a big warning signal for financial markets, and it will also traumatize central banks in terms of inflationary pressures. Right now, inflation is one of those things, and or deflation, that you'll see what you want to see. If you cover one eye and just look at the deflation that I've areas that I've described, the deflationary pockets, one will see those and talk about those, and bondholders are inclined to do that. And if you hold commodities, as I have more of those in my portfolio, it's quite easy to hold your hand over the other eye and see mainly the inflationary potential. I hope I've been objective in this discussion and covered both those bases. Okay, moving on. U.S. dollar and sterling. Now, sterling was really hammered, as you know, and we are into the second day of quite a good short covering rally in sterling. Now, if that is a two-day wonder, or has this very muted follow-through on the upside from here, that will tell us that we are not getting all that much short covering. That would be the obvious answer. I don't think that many people are buying sterling because they think it's a great investment currency. I rebought sterling last week, and coming out of my my New Zealand dollars, because I just felt that sterling had just fallen too far in it. It had to bounce. Everybody was bearish. Everybody was short sterling. So I've got a vested interest in seeing this sterling rally continue, but going to try to be objective. I don't know if it will do that or not, but it depends on the size of those short positions. If they're as big as some of the chatter suggested and as the trend suggests, we could see quite a hefty short covering rally over the next few weeks. Now, if that does happen, my feeling is that that would be a precursor for a short covering rally in the US dollar as well, not marking the final low of this decline for the dollar, I don't think, but marking a bounce. So in other words, put it another way, the sterling could be leading the dollar in that next technical rally. Now, why would that happen? Because whenever people have said sterling is a little bit oversold, maybe the dollar is a little bit oversold, technically, other people have come in and said, okay, well, what's the catalyst? Why should it go up? What's the fundamental reason? Well, there isn't a fundamental reason, but there's a technical reason, and that they're overextended, all the traffic's one way. So what would trigger that additional short covering? And I think the answer to that is fairly obvious, because sterling and the dollar have been the carry trade currencies recently of choice. So people have used those when they've been leveraging up in their commodity positions and in their stock market positions, where they have been doing that. So if we get some of those medium-term corrections in stock markets, and if that weighs a bit on some of the commodities, then that could provide the catalyst for that temporary rebound in not only sterling, but also the U.S. dollar. So we need to watch for that. We see the technical evidence that that has begun in sterling, and I've said we need to see how much that gains traction. The stronger sterling is over the short term, the more likely it is that that will spill over into dollar short covering, because the people who shorted sterling are very often the same people who shorted the US dollar. And if they're starting to get burned on sterling, or they feel too much pain on their sterling shorts, they'll say, well, we better cover some of the dollar shorts so we don't get caught there as well. That's the way I'm seeing that. Now, precious metals. Is gold going to repeat its magnificent moves of $300 plus, and it would be, that would be really from around the $1,000 level on the upside? Is it going to repeat that following another 18-month consolidation, as we saw it commence in September of 2004 and also September of 2007? Well, so far so good. It looks like we are on track for a significant move. Is there a difference this time? Yes, there always is. The difference this time is that there's a fair amount of scrap sales coming from the United States, UK, India, but the United States and India for the most part. That's partly recession related. But if that is absorbed and we do get the 5-6 month bull run on the upside, and I think the odds do favor that, as I've said all along, then driving force there is going to be investment demand for gold bullion, and there are plenty of reasons why people would want to have that gold, not just the momentum, not just inflation concerns. It's really because they don't trust fiat money. That's the real reason, I feel. But if that's going to happen, as I've said before, if that's going to happen, then really gold and its sister precious metals need to break the link to dollar weakness. In other words, they've just been moving inversely to the U.S. dollar, and gold has tended to sag a bit when the dollar rallies, and it's tended to sag a bit when stock markets react. So, again, gold will have to show its mettle, pun intended, if it's going to do on the upside what it has following those previous breakouts from the big trading ranges, and that is get a bit of a momentum move of its own going, which is not derailed by some short covering in the dollar and is not derailed by some profit taking in global stock markets. Will that occur? I wouldn't bet against it, but we will see. Meanwhile, I am positioned long in these precious metals, as you know. And what else is crude oil? It's very interesting. Could crude oil actually be the catalyst for some mean reversion corrections in stock markets, and perhaps a bit of a worry in global bond markets? Sure. Crude oil is by far the most important commodity. So, you know, gold can go to, well, let's take some of the others. Copper can do almost anything on the upside. So can nickel. So can silver or platinum. But if crude oil starts surging, and it has started to surge, that's a very, very different story. And that will worry central bankers. It will worry economists. And remember, gold's not all that far away from $80 right now. As a matter of fact, it's less than a dollar and a half away from that. So real strength beyond just dollar weakness in the crude oil market will create... You start seeing this above $85, and I think that's well within reach. This will become an increasing headwind for the global economy. It will alarm central banks. It will cause more choppy action in these markets. So, never a dull moment, eh? There's going to be a lot of excitement in these markets. Well, there already has. We'll get more of the same. I'm enjoying it. I hope you are as well. And without bragging, I'm also profiting from it far more often than not. And I really, really sincerely hope you are as well. Meanwhile, I think that's a wrap for this week. My first full week back since the bypass operation. It feels good. And it's just down to me now to say, have a great weekend. All the very best to all of you.